Hello and welcome to the More Life on One Life Suffolk podcast. I'm Dr. Sophie Edwards, a health psychologist specialising in disordered eating and behaviour change. I'm passionate about the link between psychological and physical health and believe that you can't have one without the other. Join me and my colleagues as we discuss a range of topics related to well-being. Today I'm joined by Connor Hale, our Active Lifestyles Lead at One Life Suffolk. Connor's a personal trainer with over 7 years' experience in the industry. His qualifications include Level 3 exercise on referral, Level 4 in delivering exercise to individuals with mental health conditions, and is a qualified cancer rehabilitation instructor. Today we're going to talk about the benefits of physical activity, including improvements in social, psychological, and physical outcomes. We're going to discuss how we can have a good relationship with exercise and not use it as something to punish ourselves for overeating. We're also going to think about how we can navigate some of the confusing messages that are out there related to exercise. And Connor's going to give you some advice on where to start if you want to become more active. We really hope you enjoy the podcast.
There we go.
Good. Okay. Right. Cool. Okay, perfect. Right, well, thanks for joining me, Connor. So we're going to have a chat about physical activity in general, but could you just start by giving me an overview of what your current job role is and why you got into it?
Yeah, so my name's Connor and I am the Get Help to Get Active Lead for One Life Suffolk. Loads of different reasons why I got into sort of the physical activity sector. I mean, before I started this, I was working with children. I've always had a passion of sort of helping those individuals change and sort of adapt and increase their sort of lifestyle options growing up, and moved into the adult services recently, and then was promoted into the lead, which is really good. Massive background in physical activity and sport. I mean, I'd probably say I started kicking a ball before I even started crawling. So always been around it. My dad's a massive sports fan. My brother is, my family are. So always around it. And moving into this side of thing, I was a personal trainer for a long time and I really enjoyed it, but I felt like something was slightly missing. And it was that the people are in the gym, but what about the people who weren't in the gym? And obviously, how can we support those people? And it just always played in the back of my mind and how we can help those people. And with this job coming up, it was a perfect opportunity for me to do that, is to support those individuals to, you know, be those people who go out and take part in physical activity. So, yeah.
That's great. That's really interesting. So I think what you've said there, you know, you were introduced to sport and exercise at an early age, which is fantastic, but not everyone is. And I think that's absolutely it. The people in gyms are healthy and generally into fitness have got that wide knowledge of it. So targeting those people who weren't into sport at school, who didn't get into it, and don't even know it's necessarily an aspect that's missing from their life, I suppose. If it's something you've never done, why would you see the value in it?
Absolutely. And those people who didn't take part in a younger age, just obviously they don't have that interest in it, and it's absolutely understandable. And it's not until we get older that we realize obviously certain parts of our life are improved by taking part in physical activity. I mean, I've always been a fine believer of the statement quality of life is more important than looking good or feeling good. It's, I mean, can I do the things in my life that I enjoy? And if I can't, physical activity has always been one thing that actually enables you to do those things that you enjoy. So yeah, I think it's important, but it's hard for those who have never done it to maybe grasp the concept straight away of why and how it's important.
Okay. So for you, what are the benefits then?
Well, for me personally, it's the freedom and just the opportunity to do things different and change it up all the time. And I am very competitive, so I do like taking part in things that are, I mean, are against other people. And I compete with people who don't even know they're competing with me most of the time, but that really sort of what gives me the drive to take part, and it gives me then the sort of personal accomplishment of it, knowing that I've got up and I've done something in that day that maybe I found difficult, or maybe that I didn't want to do straight away, but I've done it anyway. And it's just, yeah, it just gives you that sort of fuel to go and do it. You can be imaginative, you can change it up all the time, it doesn't have to be the same thing. And yeah, just like the competition, the camaraderie of taking part in sport and exercise is just, I don't know, it just gives you that nice feeling when you're sort of working out with other people and doing different things with other people.
Yeah, you've hit so many sort of factors that contribute to good mental health there. What you said about that sense of purpose, I suppose it gives you having those goals that you're striving for, the boost to things like self-esteem when you're achieving those goals, so important. I think lack of purpose, which I think a lot of people are struggling with a bit at the moment, especially people who might not be working or have been furloughed, because we are living in very strange times. Having that no sense of purpose or structure to their day can be really, really detrimental to well-being. So I think what you've said there about it giving you that purpose and being an outlet for some of that competitiveness that you have, sort of have that outlet for that in a really healthy way. Sounds great.
Absolutely. I certainly think right now that that word of outlet is very, very important to me. And I mean, although I am a very active person, I found that my activity levels have decreased during this difficult time, and finding ways to have an outlet has been quite stressful for me. I mean, I play golf, I go camping, I go hiking, I've mountain climbed my whole life and that sort of stuff. And I'm not able to do that sort of stuff right now, so I've had to find different ways to have an outlet. And you know, I mean, simply we've been sort of the resident dog walkers and sort of family dog walkers, so taking the dogs out and doing just something different has enabled me to continue with that outlet, and have, even though I'm with my partner, we're exercising together, it is still time to yourself. At the same time, it's just being able to have the freedom to go for a wander and just enjoy the fresh air, and like I say, using something as an outlet, which is different
Yeah.
in your day, which you're also getting benefits from. I think it's a win-win situation, really.
Definitely. And you've hit on something else that I for me is one of the really big benefits of being active and being active outdoors as well. There's a concept called nature connectedness that I'm not sure if you've heard of. It's about the fact that people who spend time outdoors in green spaces, that's surrounded by grass, trees, plants, or in blue spaces, is a newer concept that's emerged sort of by lakes, rivers, seas. It's been proved to have a big impact on mood, improves well-being, has actually been linked to improved outcomes in physical health conditions. And it's not fully explained because the benefits go beyond that of the exercise that's being done, but actually having a boost to our mental health. And they think that maybe having some sort of connection with nature, whether it's hiking or all the things you were talking about, or even spending time with your pets, is a basic human need that is really, really easy to neglect. So getting outdoors and sort of connecting with the great outdoors and nature is seems to be something that's really good for us.
Absolutely. I mean, if the weather's bad and I can't, and I feel as though I haven't been outside all day, I'll just go sit on the step sometimes outside my house just to feel as though I'm outside again. I know it sounds really silly, but just that sort of cooped up feeling is very difficult. And I imagine obviously a lot of people are feeling like that right now. I mean, those who perhaps are shielded or obviously solo isolators can be very, very difficult right now. And a simple aspect of perhaps just going and sitting on your doorstep. So obviously you're not leaving the house technically, you're not leaving your garden, but just having that fresh air and viewing something that's different to your normal four square walls definitely has always given me the boost that I need, to sort of carry on, I mean, throughout my day, really.
Yeah, and that is such good advice because you can absolutely get some of those benefits from sitting outside or even looking out your window if you haven't got a garden or balcony. Or even I was speaking to someone the other day who can't leave the house at all, and they live in a flat, and they've ordered some house plants that have arrived. So even getting some of that nature into your house and having some plants around you that just gives you that impression of some of the natural world being around you is a really good idea.
Absolutely. And even a simple thing like that is that you've got to water your plants, you've got to get up and move around to be able to do that. So you're incorporating even just a little bit of physical activity into there, and I mean movement, which is positive as well. So there's not, I mean, there's the thing with activity, and I think I sort of said it earlier, there's so many different benefits to it. There's so many different outcomes that you mean, even someone who's been in this industry a long time, even I'll come up with something new and something how I felt about something different to what I have done in the past. So yeah, constantly changing, constantly sort of improving on things.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've really looked a lot at the mental health benefits of exercise, and it really is nice for me to hear that that's the first thing you go to, in a way, because I think exercise is very much viewed as this thing you have to do to look after your body. And we know that the physical health benefits of physical activity are wide ranging, and I'm sure you can talk on that a bit, but I think having that the actual mental health and well-being aspects in the sort of forefront of our mind makes for longer term changes, and it makes it feel far less of a chore and something pleasurable for us to do.
Yeah.
Which is good. So what about the physical benefits then? I know that, so within your service, which is the Get Help to Get Active service in One Life Suffolk, and for those More Life users listening, One Life Suffolk is the branch of More Life that is in Suffolk, so same family. I know you work with people with a lot of long-term health conditions, so how can activity help them physically?
It's a difficult one to explain in reality when it comes to that, because obviously it all depends on people's specific health conditions, specific needs. And for me, the main benefit to physical activity is it supports the treatment that you're receiving from the health professionals. So if you are on medication, or you are receiving physiotherapy, or you are someone who's got surgery maybe in a couple of months' time, and anything along that spectrum, physical activity to me supports it. I mean, there is no cure to anything, as we all know that. There's no magic pill that gets rid of something. So it is going to be hard work, but the physical activity side of it supports it, which in turn should make things easier in the long term. And again, I sort of pitched on it earlier, is the quality of life. So if you are someone who is struggling with mobility, for example, who maybe has rheumatoid arthritis or osteoporosis or anything along those lines, quality of life is so much more important than the fact that, are you someone that struggles to pick something out of the shelf? I mean, are you someone who struggles to sweep up around the house? Now, what we can do with physical activity is work on specific exercises that can help with those aspects of your life. So you correlate the movements, and you make it practical to the issue. So there's programs, there's the NEAT programs, and non-exercise activity time, which is things like walking around with shopping bags, it's things like walking up and down stairs. So it doesn't actually have to be gyms and stuff, but what that does, it corresponds to your normal daily living, which to me is the most important thing. I want to feel comfortable that if I want to go on a walk, I can go on a walk. If I want to go and If when I go on a holiday, I want to do a sort of day of just walking around, visiting places, I want to know that I can do that. And the focus of physical activity and the focus of our program is that enabling you to be able to do that, really, is that if there's certain aspects in your life you're struggling with, so mobility is a huge, huge, huge one that we find every day. It's about how can we incorporate exercises into your daily living that can help you with your mobility, that will in turn help with the treatment that you're receiving from the health professionals. So it's about sort of walking alongside the health professionals without taking over what the health professionals are doing. So there's a fine line, and like I said, it does depend on specific health conditions. Some are more complicated than others to work with, but for me, the overall outcome is quality of life and making sure, if there's things that you do enjoy in life, that you can still carry on doing them.
Yeah, I think that's so important. So those functional activities actually improving things like that. And I think it, sort of saying almost widening our view on what health is and what health looks like. So yeah, you might have this long-term health condition, and like you said, there's no magic pill that's going to take it away. But if you think about how the healthiest you can be in that situation that you're in, physical activity can help you still live that really good quality, meaningful life and do some of those things that you want to do without, magically taking away the condition.
Absolutely. I've had many clients in the past who have had, some serious health conditions. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to get rid of your health condition without a doubt, because I can't do that. That's not what I'm trained to do. It's not my knowledge. It's not my background. But what I can do is help you to attain some goals that are just going to make you feel better in your day. I've had clients in the past with serious rheumatoid arthritis, and we've still worked together, and that person still walks every day. They still actually go and kayak. They sail, and it's something when they first come to me that they weren't able to do. And it was a long process, and it was hard work. I'm not going to lie to people; it is difficult. And I think the importance of it is, and I think this is where the mental health side comes in. The mental health for me, to start with, is acute, so you get the mental health benefits straight away. Do you know what I mean? You feel as though you've done something, you've got some accomplishment of the day. You didn't want to go, but you went. So, well done for going. And I'm pretty sure the person who's working with you will be saying that as soon as you get there anyway. But the long-term benefits is the other stuff. What you can do. And with the acute sort of mental health benefits is what's going to get you to come the next day or the following day.
And it's that accumulation effect as well, I think. So if sometimes, if you're just incorporating something small into your life, like doing some walking, which has, benefits that we've said, the mental well-being ones, but also exercise has an impact on sleep quality. So you're likely to sleep better, it reduces stress levels, so likely to reduce stress as well. And, for example, someone with type 2 diabetes, we know that actually chronic stress, lack of activity, and even some research now saying lack of sleep have an impact on insulin resistance. So that one thing that the exercise is helping with, it's touching all of those other areas as well that kind of come together to help improve certain things.
I think I've said it before to other people, but I certainly see physical activity as more of a glue to all the other processes, rather than like it the be all or end all. It's what actually enables you to continue with the other aspects of perhaps in your life that you might be struggling with. And I'm a fine believer of if I can be bothered to get up and go on a walk, and I can be bothered to get up and go to the gym or kayak or whatever it may be, I can be bothered to stand up in my kitchen and make something to eat. I just feel as though it's not the be all or end all, but it is certainly the glue that sort of really sticks, keeps everything together and works on all different processes at the time, as you said.
No, that's really interesting, and I agree, and I think even in my personal experience, sometimes when I'm feeling really demotivated or work's challenging, or when you get into that maybe mid-afternoon slump, going for a walk and then coming back gives you that opportunity to look at things in fresh eyes, because as you rightly said, it gives you that alone time. It gives us a time away from a screen. Try not to take my phone with me. So it just gives us that space and
It's a
time to
time.
even practice. Oh, sorry, go on.
It's a time for our brain just to relax. It's not think about anything. I think I'll probably speak for a lot of people here. I do my best thinking when I'm not thinking, when I'm just relaxing and just not paying attention, and I'm just wandering along and I'm watching people, or I'm. Do you know what I mean? I'm not watching people because I'm, judging anyone, but I'm just watching. I'm just watching what other people are doing, daily life, taking part for other people. And yeah, I think it makes your brain just switch off. And like I said, I certainly would agree that I do my best thinking when I'm not thinking.
But it's that mindfulness as well. That's a big buzzword at the moment, but that being present in the moment, like watching other people or looking at the ducklings on the river or whatever it is, it's being present in that moment rather than worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or thinking over what you said yesterday. So, which we know, you know, mindfulness is really good for our mental health as well. So it can allow that. Fantastic. So, a lot of people, you know, obviously More Life does a lot of weight management services as well as the great service you lead on. And a lot of people talk about their experience of exercise as only being part of a diet. So when they decide that they want to lose weight and they pick up, you know, a diet, whether it's a fad diet or not, and join a gym and hit it hard, and their goal for that exercise is to lose weight. How do you feel about using exercise in that way? Is it a good weight loss tool, or?
I certainly think, again, it's sort of a tool, and I certainly think it's a tool that needs to be utilized. Obviously, exercise is more difficult in reality. I mean, it takes more energy and it takes more time up than anything else. So I certainly think it's a tool that should and will be utilized by many, many people for weight loss. But it all depends, unfortunately, on your body type and what exercise programs you're doing, and all those little things like that will have an effect on your overall outcome. Now, for someone like me, I mean, I'm 6'4" and I've always been relatively slim over the, I mean, as I've got older, I've, you know, put more weight on, as most people do, as my job roles have changed from constantly delivering physical activity sessions to being a bit more office based. Again, things change. But for me, exercise has never been a tool for weight loss because of my body type and the actual program types that I've done as well. So I've always trained very much in terms of strength and power to be able to go out and kayak, to be able to go out and climb, to be able to go out and do these things. I need to be able to have a mixture of both strength and power. Whereas if for someone obviously wants to lose weight as part of your diet, not solely, they need to work together, not one and the other. They need to have a partnership between each other. Is that you need to understand, you need to know what your overall goal is, and obviously then work on the program to be able to work alongside that, if that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's right. It can be a really good tool. And for me, from a sort of psychological angle, what I don't like to see is people having an unhealthy relationship with exercise, in that they use it as a punishment for overeating or just sort of getting on a treadmill and not allowing themselves to leave that treadmill until they've burned off a certain number of calories. And then I've seen people get a negative association with exercise in that way, because as I say, it's used more of as a punishment than anything else. Whereas for me, I think the most important things are the things that we've already talked about and covered, that the knock-on effect it has on mental well-being. And again, we know things like stress and sleep quality and things like depression, anxiety, all have a knock-on effect on our eating patterns and our weight. So for me, exercise ideally is something nice we do for ourselves that has all these knock-on effects, one of which might be weight loss, rather than that's their primary kind of goal.
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of the science of weight loss, it's calories in, calories out, isn't it? So if obviously you're having 2,500 calories a day, is, you know, I mean, your goal or your maintenance goal or whatever it might be, by taking part in physical activity, all that's going to do is reinforce what you're doing in the kitchen. You know, I mean, if you are someone who perhaps had 2,600 that day, there's no need to punish yourself for it. But by taking part in physical activity, as generic as it should be and as fun as it should be, you've actually helped yourself in the long-term goal, is what I sort of see things. I don't like to look at things as I mean, it's Tuesday today, my goal is Friday. It's very much about what my overall outcome is going to be, and I like to work on weekly outcomes rather than sort of daily outcomes. If I have overindulged, which there's nothing wrong with overindulging every now and again, what am I going to do for the rest of the week that actually can support what I've done and not just punish myself for it? I mean, it is a long-term thing rather than a short-term thing, and I mean, exercise will certainly help with that. Not only when you get there, you feel a sense of accomplishment. You feel that you've done something in the day, and then, I mean, as you said earlier, a lot of people sort of punish themselves for it. A lot of people actually do it on the opposite side of things and think by taking part in physical activity they can eat as much as they want. And again, it's not always the right or the safest way to go about it. And again, it's about having the mixture of the two and finding the right balance for you personally. I mean, again, personally, I've always found that I'm okay with food as long as if I'm eating the right amount. If I exercise, that's the balance for me, whereas other people are different. And it's about finding that right balance for your body type and your personal self and what works for you. And just figuring it out and asking for advice if you can't, really.
Absolutely. And yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's absolutely not a one size fits all approach, and everyone's got different circumstances, different abilities and different factors in their life. Something that you just touched on about people sort of thinking that if they exercise they can eat whatever they like is interesting, because I think some of the thinking behind that comes from some misinformation about exercise, maybe on that comes from things like social media, where people have their exercise regimes that they're selling and, you know, swear blind, this is the only way to exercise. If you do this, you will, you know, live forever, feel amazing and all the rest of it. And I think it can be so confusing for people, especially people who want to get into exercise who don't have that experience. What advice would you give to people on how to navigate all of that?
Again, it's, I mean, we're all different, and the important thing is to find out what does work for you, and that does take time. And it's not just what works for you; it's what you enjoy, it's what you don't enjoy. You mean, and you just got to try and piece it together as best you can, and then expand and progress onto it. I mean, again, for example, I'm a tall person. Growing up, I was long distance. I always did long distance. I ran cross country, I ran for England, I did 800 meters, 1500 meters, all those sorts of things. But as I grew up, my body type changed, and I realized for me the most beneficial type of training was a powerlifting style program. I realized over a long time that's what worked for me. That's where I saw that I had the most changes. It's where I saw I had the most progression. It's what I enjoyed the most. It was the camaraderie of taking part in that sort of style of programming. Everyone was, in the classic term, jacked up and, you know, I mean, just enjoying themselves while they're there. And it just made it easier for me to want to go to that, take part in that program. I've never been a big fan of gyms. I don't know why. I don't like being enclosed, as I've said before, like being outside. And then what it did was it enabled me and made me feel as I want to go then take part in a gym session with someone and other people because of the style of program. Now, I mean, I've got the knowledge and background to figure that out, and not a lot of people have, and that's understandable. But there are people out there like me who work in gyms and who have worked in places and do the things that we do, who can help with you. Support you to find out what you enjoy and find out obviously what progression route you want to take part in and how we can piece things together and create a program that you'll enjoy as well as get all the benefits out that you want to. And I think what a lot of people do is that they try something for a week or two and realize they don't like it, and that's okay. I understand if you don't like something, but sometimes we just have to persevere a little bit longer. They do say 6 weeks is a good sort of period of time to really get to know whether something's working for you or not, especially activity. You'll certainly see changes in body shape and size changes in 6 weeks. And it's important to try and persevere with it. And then what you can do after 6 weeks is take that program apart. You can see what you didn't enjoy, what you did enjoy, what you got the most benefits out of, emotionally and obviously physically. And then we start to piece it together over the longer period rather than obviously over a 2 week period.
Yeah, that's good advice. Figuring out what works for you, but giving it a good go, because yeah, it might not be necessarily, if you're not enjoying something after a week, it might not be that you're not enjoying it or that it's not right for you. It might be that you're struggling to change that habit and fit it into your schedule, things like that. So I think definitely giving it a good go and asking a sort of trusted professional as well to explain the different types of exercise. So that's why I think the Get Help to Get Active service is so good in Suffolk. We're not selling any particular product. We don't have this online program up our sleeve that is what we want you to buy. We've actually got the knowledge of the local area and what's available and can help you to find what works best for you. So, and if you're not in Suffolk, finding out about local services out there, physical activity services out there that can help you find someone trusted to talk about different exercise pathways is really important. Sort of going back to social media a bit, not just social media, but maybe even on television programs, things like that. I think sometimes people who take part in exercise are quite a specific type of person. Certainly the pictures we see on things like Instagram tend to be a particular body type, slim, muscular, able-bodied. Do you think that makes some people feel a bit sidelined and make the world of exercise a bit intimidating?
I think it's always going to be a difficult topic for people. I think obviously certain people have views on certain things and everyone has an opinion, and that's absolutely fine. We all can have an opinion on what we want in our life. That's, you know, it's our choice to do so. But it's not, for me, it's not about watching that person and how they look. For me, it's about the relationship I have with that person, and that if I go into a class and the male or female delivering it is, I mean, 6 foot, toned, you know, I mean, whatever anyone sees in their head as the perfect person, it shouldn't matter. It's about how you're engaging with that person, and do they make you feel good? Do they give you a good workout? Do they give you the right information and support you when you can't do something, or give you something different to do, like progressions and regressions of exercises? And just that overall rapport with someone is more important to me than how they actually look. And I mean, for someone who's been around this industry a long time, I still look at people and envy people the way they look. But it's always we're always going to have that force in our head, and it's an important thing about how we move on from it, and obviously how we interact with that person in front of us. And I could hold my hands up and promise you now, the person working with you is not thinking the same thing to you. They want to help you. They want to support you. They don't expect you to look like them. Do you know what I mean? They don't want you to look like them. They want you to be the best person you can be. And whatever that might be is what they will help you to do. And like I said, it's just about relating to that person. Like, I don't suffer with medical conditions myself. I'm fortunate on that. But I have suffered with lots of injuries in the past, playing football, climbing, that sort of stuff. And it's about how then you relate with that person across from you. I can't relate to someone with having health conditions, but I can relate to someone who's not able to take part in activity for certain periods of time. And then how do we create that bond? How do we create that relationship that you trust me and I trust you, and that actually we're going to strive towards our goals and we're going to work together to attain those goals? That to me is the most important thing, not what that person looks like in front of me. I've climbed with people in the past who were, I mean, 25 stone plus, but were much better climbers than me. And I mean, it is hard not to judge someone when you see someone, but getting to know that person, like I said, is more important. And then you realize why they're there and what they're there to help you with. And like I said, you can support each other towards those goals that you may have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really good advice. And I think sometimes it's easy to see someone who has maybe, you know, that super muscular physique and forget that they're still human and that they have insecurities themselves. And
I think the important thing to remember is that as well, they weren't born like that. Do you know what I mean? They didn't come out muscular or toned or whatever you want to, again, whatever you picture as the perfect person. They didn't come out like that. They have spent a long time, you know, in working hard and receiving support from other people, I mean, I'm a personal trainer, but I've been personal trained in the back in the past because I need support as well. I don't know everything, and I mean, there's certain elements that of my education and background that other people have and I don't. So it's important to reflect and work with each other and obviously support each other on that side of thing. And remember, like I said, that person in front of you has worked hard to get to that point, and they want to help you to get to what your point is as well.
Yeah, and your point, your end point might not, well, is not likely to be the same as their end point, because their end, their for them, exercise is their profession. So for the average person, that's not going to be a reality. I think what you said before is looking at your own personal circumstances, your own view of what healthy means to you, what active means to you, what fit means to you, and working towards that within your own personal circumstances, rather than trying to adopt someone else's goals whose whole lifestyle is completely different to yours.
And it is hard. It's hard to not get caught up on what other people want and what other people are doing. And I mean, I've done it before. I've been in a gym and I've looked at someone. I go, oh, as I said, I'm very competitive, so I want to compete with people. I don't even know they're competing with me. But by having someone to work with, a friend, I mean, someone who you trust, or I mean, a personal trainer, exercise referral specialist, whatever it may be, they're the people that keep you focused on what you want to focus on. And I've always been, I mean, I've always had a training partner. I mean, I don't mind training on my own. It doesn't bother me, but I think having a training partner is really important just for those days where you don't feel up for it, but they probably will, and they'll be, you don't want to let them down. They don't want to let you down. So the days you're not up for it, they'll come and knock on your door and get me off your bum and take you to the gym, and vice versa. And while you're there, you've got someone to talk to, you've got someone to commute with. It keeps you in the moment, and it keeps you focused on what you're there for, rather than what everyone else is focusing on and doing.
No, I think that's important. I think there's such a big benefit for with group exercise as well. Just getting that social support, having widening your social circle and meeting similar people. Because I mean, there are so many areas that have things like, the chair-based yoga classes, Pilates, all of those sort of exercise classes that are tailored to different levels, different abilities, and you're going to meet people in similar circumstances to you, but who can still push you and motivate you and to keep going, which is really lovely.
Absolutely. It's, I mean, being open-minded about things, and if you are someone who struggles with, I mean, meeting new people and sort of going into new surroundings and stuff, that's okay. I mean, it's what we have found in that in them circumstances is sort of slow exposure works really well. So perhaps if you're someone who wants to take part in physical activity and sort of is a bit concerned about going in, most gyms and places like that have cafes. Go and sit in there and have a cup of coffee first. I mean, get used to the people going in and out. Have a chat with the receptionist about the offers that are on there. Walk away, come back another day, and just slow exposure to things. And if you want to take part in a physical activity session, speak to someone who may have done it before. Speak to the person who's delivering it. They want you to come because they want you to improve and they want you to hit your goals. So speaking to them before about what goes on, how it works, I mean, what I can do if I can't do certain things, or if you have any health conditions, I mean, is there anything I can think about while I'm doing it? They are there to help you with that, and I think it's really important to remember that you're not on your own, and obviously we want to support obviously you.
And that's really good advice around the exposure. I think sometimes if you're someone who feels a bit anxious about trying new things, like you say, familiarizing yourself with the environment, or even going on YouTube and maybe having a look at, if it's a, I don't know, chair-based yoga class you've signed up to, watching a chair-based yoga. You don't have to do it, but just so you get in your mind, know what to expect, and relieve some of those anxieties before you take the plunge and go for the full class.
Absolutely. So it's literally what I did with the powerlifting side of things. I said I've always been into long distance. I decided that I'm going to try something new, bit concerned about it. I was watching people in the gyms every now and again. I then went on YouTube, watched some videos. Now, I don't always suggest watching things online just because of like technique, especially when it comes to people with health conditions. It's really important to get sound advice from health professionals. But I certainly think watching and understanding is very, very important. And I mean, I moved here 7 years ago and I was on my own. And within 6 weeks, I had a gym partner. And we didn't know each other. We bumped into each other. We both were doing the same thing. He asked for help. I asked for help. And it manifests like that. It happens really, really quickly. And especially in group exercise classes, we always, as a class instructor, found that someone might turn up on their own, but the following week, they'll turn up with someone who was in the class that week with them, or they'll walk in together talking. So yeah, I think that again, the sort of camaraderie of a class is really a really beneficial way of keeping you interested in the program that you're going to take part in.
And I think that applies to outside gym and exercise class sessions as well. Of course, we've got in every county now in the country put on health walks or from the and walking for health groups. So you can find out about those in your local area. Go out, they're run by volunteers. So you go out and just do a walk with a local group, which is really nice as well.
Absolutely, I've taken part in a few of them. It's quite nice to go bump into different people from different walks of lives. And I mean, if you want to talk to people, talk to people. If you don't want to talk to people, just enjoy walking. I mean, there's different outcomes, as we've said before, to taking part in physical activity.
Brilliant. And they're really good because they've got different lengths of walk, different difficulty levels, so you can really pick which one suits you. So I think they're quite a good way in. What advice? So that's, I think, a good place to start, maybe looking at your local health walks. But what advice would you give someone who just wants to get a little bit more active?
I think the important thing is to try things. Don't be afraid to push yourself. But also, importantly, it is important to remember to listen to our own body, obviously, and remember that there is perhaps things that we can't do or things that we might need to change. So the progressions, regressions to exercises. But then it is important to seek advice on those things. And if you have any concerns, remember people are out there to help. And we want to. I mean, we do this job because we want to help. It's not for most people, I think, in our industry, it's not just a paycheck. We are in this industry because we want to help people. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily know that. So yeah, listening to yourself and seeking advice where you need it and where you can. And knowing that the start of a journey isn't the end, but the end will come around, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think having that starting point, starting small, listening to your body, getting advice, they're really good starting points for people. And have a look, I think, with your local initiatives. Obviously in Suffolk you've got One Life Suffolk and the Get Help to Get Active program, which is for people with long-term health conditions and looks to help get you more active. But all local areas will have public health funded services that are there to help people get more active, so checking out them. I think if you look at our website as well, so we've got the One Life Suffolk website and our More Life websites, there are some videos on there and some advice around getting more active too. So that'd be a good place to start. Do you have anything to add, Connor? Anything else?
I think you're right there. There's lots of different options out there for people, and if you aren't based in Suffolk, I mean, speaking to your GP about if it's safe for you to take part in activities is definitely the way I would recommend starting activity. If you have got concerns, if you're over 65 and you haven't taken part in activity for quite some time, if you have health conditions or in general just any concerns about taking part in physical activity, always seek advice from your GP first. And what they will do is they'll have knowledge of their local activities sectors and what programs are running. So exercise on referral, for example, or exercise prescription, whatever it's named in your area, it can change. They'll have that information for the area. Sport England, Charters, the Charter Society of Physiotherapists. There's loads of things about that people can look on and get information from about your locality, your local county council website. There's always information on there about physical activity sessions and things are going around the area as well. And Facebook's a great tool, or social media is a great tool to find out what is going on around your area. I always do it if there's something I want to try and I don't know it's around. I'll just quickly search on Facebook, and I'm sure there's something. And I mean, pop that person a message. I mean, ask them about what goes on in there, and I'm sure they'll happily answer your questions and sort of set your mind at ease about if you wanted to take part in it.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Thank you. And some really good starting points for people. So, thank you. I really enjoyed that. I think that was a really good conversation, and I hope it's inspired people to get a bit more active. We hope you found that interesting and beneficial. To recap, exercise has many benefits, including improvements in mood and self-esteem. It can give you a sense of purpose and add routine to your day. You'll see improvements in your physical fitness, and you might even make new friends. Exercise should be something you enjoy, but it might take time to get into a routine with it. For more help on that, please listen to our podcast on habits. The messaging around physical activity can sometimes be confusing, so it's really important to seek advice from qualified professionals. There are lots of local initiatives across the country, including Walking for Health and Exercise on Referral. Please go and see your local GP before you take up a new activity routine, and they can give you advice on all of the things available in your area. Please visit our website, more-life.co.uk. We are still open and are offering a range of services, including weight management, physical activity, stop smoking, amongst others. Make sure you look after yourselves and each other, and join us again soon. Thanks.